Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You don't care what they throw at you in any way, shape, or form. You just walk on the field and take care of business. And the whole world knows that now. Love you guys. All right, we talked last night. They had the best home playoff
record. 13-2! Yeah!
Recommit yourself right now. Every single day matters. It's all about one game right now. One game, and that's in Philly. The only thing that matters is 49ers. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Let it go three. 1, 2, 3. Yeah!
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Happy Monday, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry, Jay Croucher, and Lawrence Jackson. And what you heard at the top of the show was celebrations from those Cincinnati Bengals and San Francisco 49ers, fellas. We are down to four teams left in the playoffs.
Not included in that montage of the Bengals celebrating and the Niners celebrating was Commanders fans celebrating.
Woo! Oh, boy.
Listen, I get Mike McCarthy getting a lot of criticism on Twitter, but you know who he's not getting criticism from? This guy. Yeah. I love Mike McCarthy. I think the Cowboys.
Genius.
I think Mike McCarthy should be the head coach of the Cowboys forever. Sign him to a lifetime contract, Jerry.
Like that last play?
I love the final play. I love them all. I love the red zone interception. I loved getting, you know, I love the Niners. Fumbling the punt return and the Cowboys getting the ball in the Niners' red zone and only be able to get a field goal out of it. Loved it all. Yeah. It was great.
Fred Warner gave the speech that we showed in the 49ers locker room. Kyle Shanahan actually asked if Dak Prescott could give the speech.
He
was
didn't
the guy
show
most
up.
Responsible.
Appearance fee was a little high at that point. Oh, my goodness. So let's take a look. I mean, we're down to four teams
here,
guys.
It is noon on a Monday on Peacock, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere, including in Dallas. We're drinking heavily.
And right here as well. We're ready to go. You're back from Kansas City.
Yes,
we're having a good old time.
I love Kansas City, by the way. Loved Kansas City. I would get to that game.
Despite not liking barbecue.
I don't like barbecue, but I went to Q39. I asked my fans where I should go. Joe's, Jack Stack came up a lot. And so LC's and Q39. I ended up going to Q39. It was awesome. Like, not a barbecue fan, but a fan of Q39 barbecue. It was awesome.
We actually went to get barbecue once, and Matthew deliberately asked for no sauce at all on his wings, which was kind of frightening at the time, but I just realized.
You're like, what have I gotten myself into at that point?
No sauce on my wings.
Barry. Yeah. I have the stomach of a 10-year-old, right? Like, of a delicate 10-year-old, let's be clear. But I braved it in Kansas City to do that, and you know what? It was awesome. But let's why are you derailing our kids?
I'm actually enjoying this bit now that I take the show off the rails.
Yeah.
It's a plot twist.
That's my lane.
Yeah,
stay in your lane, Connor.
Yep.
Your job is to keep it on the rails. My job is to take it off.
And we have time today.
We were talking with Niners, Cowboys, and I was making fun of the Cowboys. All right, let's just start here. Dak played crappy, right? He played awful. And I sent out some tweets about that. And people got very upset about my tweets, and I'm just like, but no one had an argument pro Dak. It was all whataboutism. Well, what about these other highly paid quarterbacks who also suck? Or because I tweeted out Steve, how do I pronounce his last name? Steve Palazzo.
from Pro Football Focus.
I just say PFF underscore Steve.
Yeah, fair. PFF underscore Steve. So I wanted to amplify his tweet, which was about on the final drive, not the last, you know, couple seconds, but the drive prior to the 2 minute warning where they needed to go the field. That's the Tom Brady drive. That's the, hey, you're down a score. You got the ball like on the 20 or whatever. You got to go 80 yards. You got 2.5 minutes. Like, if you're Mahomes, if you're Joe Burrow, you're Tom Brady, you know, that's a drive you make.
Legacy drive.
Taylor Heineke even, yes, right? Absolutely. And Taylor Heineke did that against the Colts, right? I mean, like, and Colts, yet in that Niners, drive, yeah. Huh?
Colts, Niners, different defenses.
He's Taylor Heineke. He ain't making $40 million a year. He's Taylor Heineke.
That's true.
Right? Taylor Heineke did that a couple times. All right. My point is that's sort of a career-defining drive, yeah. Opportunity. And in that drive, first play should have been a pick six.
Yeah.
Little like he literally drops it. But and then the second play I think
he misses Gallup. He has Gallup open.
Gallup date.
Gallup's got inside leverage. He throws it outside. Correct. Close. That was to win the game. It was right there.
Right. So yeah, exactly. Gallup's open and he misses Gallup. And then the third one he takes a sack.
Yeah, it wasn't a good sack either. And then here's the thing. The next drive, first play of the next drive, Dak tries to take the game-ending safety, yes. And then bounces off the guy. And,
one disaster.
It wasn't a good end-game execution.
And so anyway, PFF Steve put that out there, that drive as I just described it. So I quote tweeted and I said, Dak makes $40 million a year. And everyone got very upset at me. Not everyone. I mean, it got a lot more likes than it got comments.
They said you were pocket watching.
No, they did. A little bit, I guess. They were like, why are you up in his bag and all this stuff, and like, you know, why is it matter what that person makes?
Well, it matters a lot, man.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, people were like, you know, what about Kirk Cousins makes a lot of money? And I'm like, so your defensive of Dak either. Prescott is like, yeah. Right. It's like, what about Matt Ryan? He makes a lot of money. Your Commanders paid Carson Wentz $28 million. I'm like, yeah, and he sucks. Like, that was a mistake by the Commanders. Like,
people were really fired up about this. People were tweeting at me about you tweeting about Dak. Where
what were they saying?
They were saying, get your boy Barry in line. I'm like, why is he my boy? Why is he my responsibility? He can tweet what he wants about Dak Prescott.
Connor or Lawrence.
Yeah. No, don't leave me. No, I'm good. Yeah,
You that guy. Absolutely.
Mediator?
But I stand by it. By the way, and when I tweeted it, there are times when I tweet stuff when I'm like, this is a little controversy. this is a little first takey. This is a little hot takey.
First
you know, kind of. You know, there are times when I'll tweet something and I know that this one's going to rile people up. That one was not trying to rile people up. That one was not a I'm poking the bear kind of thing. I'm like, he's one of the highest. I get it. Quarterback contracts are out of control. Right, I get it, but he's in a world in which every quarterback is highly paid. He is one of the highest paid, and he is paid that kind of money to be a franchise quarterback, to be a guy that says, "Get on my back, I am leading this team to victory." And in a chance when he had an opportunity to do so, he performed awfully. And I get it, on the road at San Francisco, it's a very good defense, but that's why you're paid that money.
Best one.
That's right. I mean, that's why you're paid that money, is to make those plays. And he was bad. I mean, a red zone interception. Like, he had two picks. He should have had more. Like, he was bad, guys.
Yeah. And I think the people are bringing up, it's the 49ers defense. You throw it out. Like, no, his bad plays are, like, defense independent. And maybe he's feeling the pressure because Bose is on him all the time. But at the same time, like, he misses Gallup. Gallup's wide open. The near pick six to end the game, that was just a terrible throw. The pick that he throws in the red zone, that's a terrible throw. Could have made these plays against Carolina. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
This was the seventh straight divisional round loss for the Cowboys. That is an NFL record. Obviously, a lot of doom and gloom.
Record. Cowboys.
Not the record you want.
How about them Cowboys?
We did hear from Dak after the game.
As I said, I mean, guys that played their asses off, defense who gave us an opportunity to win this game, who played hard against a really, really good offense, a really good team, and for us to only put up the points that we did, that's unacceptable, and it starts with me. Two tonight, as I said, unacceptable. I can't put the ball in jeopardy like that, whether they're tipped up in tight throws or whether I'm late on a stop route, just can't happen. And the number that has gotten to is ridiculous. I can promise that the number will never be this again. I can promise that.
So I do. So that was the voice of Dak Prescott at his press conference, as Connor just says, and you're sitting here watching the picks right there. Like, that's just a bad throw. No one's in the, here's the red zone interception as well. Just you know, listen, oh, I mean, like, Dak. Just that's a, it's a bad one. It's a bad one. He that threw one. It in double coverage. It gets tipped up, right? And then, I mean, you just, you know.
Pick twice. Makes,
I was going to say, I really shouldn't pick the first time.
Yeah. Ward makes a great play. But I will give the give Dak I will give Dak credit here, which is like Dak stood up in front of the press, took all responsibility, answered all questions. Like, I admire that. Like, owned it, completely owned it. So, like, if I'm sitting here complaining about his play, I want to give the man props of just, like, standing up and being a man and, like, taking responsibility and owning that. His QBR in this game was 51.5. Brock Purdy's was 53.1. Again, you know, neither guy played great. The difference there is that one guy.
That's it.
Well, right, turnovers, and Purdy got lucky too. Let's be clear. I mean, Purdy easily could have had multiple turnovers here too. My point merely is that one guy's a day three rookie making his seventh start ever, and one guy is one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL.
Prescott's best play of the game as well, the 50-yarder or so to CD Lamb, was like really badly underthrown.
CD just made a play.
Yeah, exactly.
Despite the interference as well.
I mean, Dak's got 100% approval rating, and by all accounts, he's an outstanding guy. I think that's why he copped it on Twitter, because everyone loves Dak Prescott, and so they should. He just had a bad game.
Yeah. And the spotlight's just different when you are the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. This is what comes with the job. So,
And that's what comes with a job. That's what comes with a big contract. That comes with when you're doing, you know, DirecTV commercials and Sleep Number commercials. And
those Sleep Number commercials are great, by the way. I love them. He just looks so comfortable sleeping on them pillows. Go ahead.
Well, he inspired a lot of memes. He inspired a lot of memes.
Yeah, I bet.
Especially after they changed the Sleep Number to his QBR rating. That's the new sleep anyway.
Campbell soup too.
Campbell soup, right? Yeah. But this is bad, right? We know more about his what brands he pitches than his great playoff performances. That's what we remember about Dak Prescott.
It's gonna be a long offseason for the Cowboys as a whole.
It will absolutely be probably Ezekiel Elliott's last game. Although it's interesting as we move to the last thing on Dak Prescott, right? I mean, again, six different games with multiple interceptions this season, including the playoffs. He led the NFL in interceptions despite missing, I think he missed five games.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, that's a bad stat. Like, I'm no genius, but that's, feels bad.
13 games, 17 interceptions, including playoffs.
And Lawrence, like you said, the difference in this game as we transition to what Brock Purdy did as he moves to 7-0 as the starter for the 49ers was really the turnovers. And yes, there's absolutely luck involved and absolutely the skill talent in that Niners offense can elevate Purdy more than maybe any other quarterback left in this thing right now. But once again, he played clean enough football, and they lean on their defense when they have to.
Yeah, and again, look, we talk about the turnovers for Dak, right? They lost this game by a score, so Dak didn't even have to – he didn't have to play great. Hell, he probably didn't even have to play good. If he just played average, they might win the game, you know? So, and then again, you just talked about that. Look, if Brock Purdy could make that throw right there – every once in a while, they'll be okay because they have that defense to lean on. Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey was pretty much, they was bottled up, you know? So it just came down to the big plays, the turnovers.
Right. I mean, listen, Dak acknowledged that in his press conference. He's like, they held him to 19 points. Like, you should be able to generate three touchdowns of offense.
Yep.
You know, when you have, yes. Do the 49ers have more playmakers than the Cowboys? Yes, but not a lot.
Yeah.
And I get it. The Tony Pollard injury is bad, and we'll talk about that in a second. And so you lose one of your big playmakers. That's also tough. But come on. I mean, you know, again, Niners are out there with a third-string quarterback.
Yep. The Cowboys' defense last 5 weeks of the season was a bottom-five pass defense. They played out of their minds yesterday against Purdy. And Purdy, I mean, he was okay, and he made those big third-down throws, but he wasn't great. And also, Brock Purdy ever given up on a play? Never seen that man throw the ball away. He runs sometimes literally in circles. He runs around. And he's going to, he's going to struggle against Philadelphia.
But to your point, Christian McCaffrey, 10 for 35. Like, you know, I mean, like, they held him to, like, 3.5 yards per carry. Did that math in my head. No big deal. Six for 22. I can divide 35 by 10. Okay. Thank you very much, Jake Croucher.
I hope it's 10 carries because that's the easiest number to
Right, and then six for 22, you know, in the receiving game, 3.7 yards per reception.
That doesn't seem like a self-made joke.
That was on the screen. That was on the screen. But I just, like, right. The defense, they didn't lose that game because of the defense. Like, the Cowboys' defense showed up.
Yep.
You know, and so, anyway, Dak as a, we'll have all offseason to talk about Dak next year, but this was a, him as a fantasy prospect is really interesting next year because he's not running as much. I mean, he ran a little bit in this one, 4 for 22. He, you know, had a couple of scrambles, but still, like, he's not running as much and it's not as high octane an offense. And, like, we talked about this as part of the preview. On some level, this is a failure of the front office, right? I mean, like, because they made the calculation that they could let Amari Cooper go, that they thought they would get, and that was a mistake, obviously, based on what we saw Cooper do this year. And what we saw in the passing game, there's only so much my guy ate, CeeDee Lamb, for the podcast, friend of me. It's only so much my guy Ates can do, right? I mean, like, T.Y. Hilton was getting significant. T.Y. Hilton, who's on his couch 2 months ago, getting significant snaps. Right. Because just they weren't getting what they needed to out of Michael Gallup, and, you know, whatever. Noah Brown's had a moment here too, but, like,
yeah. The one bright spot for them, well, bright-ish, and I tweeted about this last night, but we need to have more kickers with the yips, because that was absolutely incredible viewing. Every time that it looked like they might attempt a field goal, it was the most exciting thing of the entire weekend. And then Brett Maher slots it from, 43, makes the 25-yarder, has the extra point blocked, which I think, if you look at the camera, I think it was missing the extra point.
It was going wide.
Unbelievable.
I think he's happy that one got blocked. I'm happy for him that one guy. I couldn't see dude just miss another extra point.
There were some books that put out a prop on, will Brett Maher miss an extra point?
Plus 400.
Plus 400. It's
good money.
Yeah. I know everyone is dunking on Brett, and it's weird for me to say as I just, dunked all over Dak. But I felt bad for Maher, actually. I've actually felt bad for him.
And he had a great season. So for everybody to be watching you at your lowest moment, pretty tough. But hey, all the attention's away from him now because it's all on Dak Prescott.
No, listen, everyone watching you at your lowest moment, like, I understand that, right? I mean, like, I made a career of that. But, I mean, people are doing that right now. Like, anytime I'm on TV is pretty much my lowest moment. So people watching me, like, I get it. I get having your lowest moment in front of an audience because that's been the last 15 years of my life. But I felt for the kid. That was a tough one. But enough. Let's talk Tony Pollard, I guess, and we should move on to the Niners.
So, obviously, Pollard leaves the game with what was deemed as that high ankle sprain, but it's a broken leg. They're not playing anymore, but this is a 3-month recovery minimum here, guys. And the bigger news is Pollard is entering unrestricted free agency.
Yeah, brutal.
And this is going to be a situation, especially in the fantasy community, where everybody has their eyes, Lawrence, on where he'll land, what kind of impact he could have next year if he's in a backfield where he's deemed as the guy, whether that's Dallas without Zeke or whether that's somewhere else.
Yeah, Dallas better be trying to make sure they land with him, because it seems as though, Matthew, you alluded to it earlier, that we may have seen Ezekiel Elliott in his last game as a Cowboy, and what a way to go out playing center for them.
and getting bull rushed into the dirt.
Center point.
I don't think he thought the dude was going to do that. I thought it was like, hey, man, you chill out. Oh, shit. Like, what's going on here? And then, Dak get the receiver killed, too. But, yeah, when Tony Pollard went when Pollard went out, it was like, oh, man. Because we know CeeDee Lamb, that's their guy on offense, bar none, right? But the other guy is Tony Pollard. And then after that, it's like, well, where are we going to get some production from? So, I mean, I don't know if Dak Prescott was just like, I don't know, thinking about Tony Pollard or whatever. But, yeah, they have it out on Zeke's contract, which, I mean, I think they want to be out on that. I think he's the highest paid running back in the league, him or CMC. You got Tony Pollard here as a free agent. So it's going to get interesting even more so with this injury. Because, 3 months from now, what's that? Is that combine time a little after the middle of the summer?
For OTAs, coming right up on OTAs, I would think.
Yeah, so you got
and the – And does he have the explosiveness after this injury? Does that
right.
come back?
Yeah, definitely had to take your time with this now that we know it's a broken leg. They said it was a sprained ankle. I don't know how that's two different
like
things. Like,
yeah.
We're thinking people are talking about, he got the same injury as Patrick Mahomes. Then after the game, like, what? Bro, what? Like, Patrick Mahomes was playing. This dude is out with the towel on his head, and you know that ain't good, but you feel for the guy. He's going to be a very wanted man regardless.
You feel for the guy just because he had a breakout season. He had the season that you'd want going into free agency, proving that, hey, I can carry the load. I can be a true workhorse back. I can be an explosive difference maker. And then to suffer a serious injury on national television in your last game, you feel for the kid. My expectation is he'll be back with the Cowboys. We'll see. But this certainly lowers his, lowers the market. Hard to know what the market for running backs these days is, just because so many people have proven that you can get production out of late round rookies and, you know, just guys, right? I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
The Deontay Foremans of the world, right? Yeah. And so, but you feel for Tony Pollard. My expectation is, though, I mean, you saw what happened with Gallup. Same thing, Gallup coming off of an injury, but still, the Cowboys brought him back. They're pretty loyal. I think sometimes probably loyal to a fault, but as an organization, they're pretty loyal. You know, Jerry Jones, like, no, Mike McCarthy's our guy.
Yeah, Jerry is he loyal.
He didn't have to say that right after the game, but he felt the need to. And even Dak's quote on Pollard after the game was an indictment on what Pollard means to this offense. Dak said, it hurt us. We weren't able to create as many explosive plays as we planned, and I'm sure he would have been a big part of some of those had he had not gotten hurt. I mean, Pollard's explosive play rate, guys, per attempt was at the top of the league. So that's a huge impact on the Cowboys' offense next year if they don't retain him, and we'll see where that goes.
I feel like the Cowboys need to trade for Amari Cooper. I feel like he'd really
is that a good idea?
That might help. Do you think it's a given 100% that Zeke won't be back? Like reduced salary type thing.
I don't think it's a given he won't be back. Because, again, Jerry's really loyal, loves Zeke. They look at things differently, or Mike McCarthy looks at things differently than I think some other people would. So I think some organizations would look at Zeke and say he's not super efficient and he's very volume-based, and obviously there's a lot of mileage there. I think Mike McCarthy might be like, he running back, he good. Mike McCarthy's not exactly the biggest analytics guy out there. And so, yes, the fact is, I'm not a contract guy. This is much more Mike Florio's world. But my understanding is that there's no more guaranteed money for Zach. Could they restructure the contract and keep him in Dallas? Sure. And they may want to, again, given the Pollard injury and given that, you know, and Zeke's, you know, been such a, you know, foundational member of that franchise for so long. I can't imagine there's going to be a big market for Zeke. So
it'd be weird to see him somewhere else.
It may make more sense for Ezekiel Elliott to be like, look, I'm going to have to take less money somewhere.
Right.
So why don't I take less money and stay in Dallas then, less, assuming they want him back. And so, no, but I don't think there's a let me put it this way. I don't think Zeke is back if Zeke's not willing to renegotiate his deal.
That's
what I would say. If Zeke's no, this is my deal, then I think, as we saw with Amari Cooper, the Cowboys have no problem letting go of long-tenured players in their team.
Yeah, they have a lot to figure out. I mean, Schultz is on the franchise tag. There's a lot of different moves.
That's the big one that Dallas
will need to figure out.
And somebody who did show up in the postseason.
Absolutely. So we'll be on top of that. Guys, the other game yesterday, the Bengals flat out felt like they dominated.
Hang on. I feel like all we did was crap all over the Cowboys. We should give some love to the Niners. Like, we should talk a little bit.
Okay.
We did nothing. We talked
about Brock Purdy.
Nothing else really happened on the Niners.
I know. It's true.
That was maybe the biggest play of the game, which was not a great throw, but an incredible catch.
Yeah.
Kittle's bobbling catch. And, I mean, they were – when they decided to become the downhill 49ers in the second half is when the game changed. They became a downhill running team, as we're going to show here, and their ability to work off play action. That's when Kyle Shanahan is at his best, and that's led by that offensive line with Trent Williams and some younger players in the middle, and then the veteran McGlinchey on the right side. So that was the story of this game to me, guys. When the Niners remember who they are, a downhill running play action rollout team, they controlled the game in the second half.
Yeah, and these guys didn't have big numbers, but still, like, Ayuk comes up with a huge third down play. Yep. Kittle goes 5 for 95. McCaffrey gets the touchdown. He also has the huge catch on third down to keep things moving. Oh, yeah, and then there's Deebo Samuel also just hanging around. So, look, it was a weird game for the Niners offense. They didn't have much of a rhythm, but they did convert all those third downs. Apparently, Dan Quinn didn't realize they're just going to throw slants over the middle every single third down play late. They didn't catch on to that, having Anthony Barr out there defending wide receivers. But we were talking about this beforehand. Like, who would have won Super Bowl MVP for the Niners yesterday? Would have been like Fred Warner. Fred Warner would have won because the offense just did so little. So they've just got so much talent across the board.
I mean, maybe Kittle.
If they forced an offensive player.
Yeah. What a pick. And led the game in tackles on the 49ers side.
Just the one thing, just one note I want to make about Purdy, you know, which is a great story. Like, I mean, the fact that Kyle Shanahan's in the NFC Championship game with a seventh-round rookie quarterback is nothing short of phenomenal, and a credit to both Kyle and John Lynch. Give the entire front office credit for surrounding Purdy with so much talent. They've done really well in the draft and in free agency, but I just thought this was interesting. When he faced pressure, when Brock Purdy faced pressure yesterday, just 3 of 11, took 3 sacks, just 3 of 11 for 24 yards, and he took 3 sacks. And so now they've got to go to Philadelphia, a team that had 75 sacks this season, third most in the NFL, that really brings pressure in a big way, and they're going to be looking at that tape, and they know. And so that one's going to be really interesting. Really interesting game.
I think that's a game, and the Eagles are 2.5-point favorites, trending towards 3-point favorites on BetMGM, home to the Niners. And look, I think that's a game where you'd love to be able to just see the first 3 plays and just see if they're beating the Niners O-line. Because if Purdy's under pressure every snap, then they're just going to lose. Like, he's not going to win if he's under pressure all the time. It's going to be on the Niners O-line to win that game.
Absolutely. All right, you want to move on? Or
Yeah.
We could talk about Elijah Mitchell if you want.
No, fine. Now we can move on.
All right, so
now
the Bengals take care of business.
Did I mention Dak?
Up in Buffalo. Dak played poorly. McCarthy's back. Commanders fans rejoice. Right. And how about Zach Taylor handing out game balls at the local bar in Cincinnati? You got to love a man of the people. Right, Barry? That's what some people call you.
I am a man.
You and Zach Taylor, man of the people.
You know what? I mean, that's amazing.
Trevor Lawrence as well.
No, we'll talk about this, but like I ran into some Jacksonville fans when I went to Kansas City, and they were like, "Hey, man, you got to come to after the Jags win, you're coming with us to the Waffle House on like March Street or something." And I'm like, you know what, guys? Tell you what, if the Jags win, I will meet you at the Waffle House. And I was going to do it.
It's one problem.
Jags didn't win.
One little problem.
Couldn't beat Chad Henne.
Yeah. Well,
that's why you agreed.
1,000%.
Yeah, long shot.
Please. That's whatever. But yes, I'm a man of the people. I would have done that. Good for Zach Taylor. Good for Zach Taylor going out, giving out game balls at a local. Was that bar wasn't in Cincinnati. Was that bar?
No, I believe it was. Yeah, he got back and went right to the bar.
Right to the bar.
He actually sat on the plane.
He really a man in a
plane. Yeah. He sat on the plane with the football
straight
on his lap.
To the bar with football.
Yep. Right, exactly. And I don't think that's the first time he's done this as well. So it's kind of his thing.
It's working.
Nick Sirianni looks at the camera and yells. Zach Taylor goes back to the local bar. Everybody's got their thing as a coach right here.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick Sirianni was the MVP of that game, which we'll get to.
We will get to that.
He was great.
And speaking of doing their thing, Joe Burrow now, guys, is 5-1 in the career in the playoffs. At this point, we saw him run through the college football world a couple years ago, goes to the NFL, comes back from the injury, and just seems to get it done in every big game, Lawrence. I mean, this guy is ice cold. And for a game, they were 5-point underdogs. The Bengals were in control almost right out of the gate.
Immediately.
Yeah.
There you go. Jamar Chase, of all people, wide ass open. And like this weather right here. There you go. Yeah. Hayden Hurst again. But that play right there was caused by the defense. Collapsing towards Jamar Chase. But, man, look at the weather. It don't matter. Just like Zach Taylor said, it don't matter the snow, where we play, who we play. We just dogs, man. We just do it. And that's what Joe Burrow is. And Joe Burrow is putting himself right there and has a chance to, you know, it's going to be a conversation going on depending on how this game goes. Now, Patrick Mahomes is hurt, but 2 straight years in the AFC Championship for the Bengals. Like, Joe Burrow, he looking at him.
Yeah.
It, Mahomes still that guy, but he looking at him.
Yeah, just a weird game. Obviously, catastrophe on every level for the Bills. Man, the Bengals just put them in a clown suit. It was uncomfortable to watch the Bills just unravel their season. And to me, the biggest surprise was that the Bengals were able to run the ball. Bengals haven't been able to run the ball. They're missing 60% of their offensive line.
Yes,
couldn't do anything against Baltimore the past 2 weeks. And then Joe Mixon looks like he's going up against the Carolina defense when he gets 5 touchdowns on them. Even in the second half where they know that Cincinnati is running, they cannot stop them. And then Burrow did whatever he wanted through the air. A lot of short stuff. Burrow missed the wide open touchdown pass as well. It could have been a lot worse.
Bengals offensive line was the star of that game, and a game in which there were a lot of stars. To your point, they came in banged up and they just dominated. They dominated the line of scrimmage. Mixon had a huge game, 20 for 105. He played 56% of snaps. This was interesting, right? Samaje Perine also played a lot of snaps, also ran a lot of routes. Mixon has the big game as well, gets into the end zone. caught a couple of balls as well. As you see it there on your screen, that 105 rushing yards is just his second 100-yard game this entire season. But when it mattered the most, that's when it happened. And so, you know, listen, just a dominating performance by Cincinnati. And as much as we want to dump on Dallas, and I do enjoy that as a Commanders fan, Buffalo should also be embarrassed by this.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Cowboys lost to a better team. The Bills were 5 to 6 point favorites in this game. It's just a mess.
And that brings me to this, right? Dak makes $40 million a year. But Dak, we don't consider Dak as a top 3 to 5 quarterback in the league. Dak wasn't at home. Dak wasn't the favorite to win. His team wasn't the favorite to win. Josh Allen needs some of this smoke, too. Like, he needs some of this same smoke that Dak should be getting. Second postseason game with 0 touchdown passes. Second fewest passing yards in a postseason game. We're looking at no touchdown passes or interceptions. He only had 26 rushing yards on the ground. We always say, can this team go to Buffalo and play in the cold? Hell, can Josh Allen and them play in the cold?
Yeah, right. The Bills can't. They look like a Big 12 team, the way they're constructed. Pushed around. They want to be a finesse team in terms of how they spread the field and are so reliant on Stephon Diggs. And I think there's awareness of that. I mean, we heard from Josh Allen after the game, and he was very honest about this loss and the disappointment.
Yeah, playing from behind is never fun. But we had our opportunity to make it a one-score game before half, and didn't take advantage of that. Didn't score a touchdown, that first drive in the second half. We only got 3. And against teams like this, with a quarterback like that, you're going to have to score 6 and 7. So we didn't do a good enough job of that tonight. Again, disappointment. You play to win. Our goal is to win a Super Bowl, a world championship, and we didn't accomplish that. So everything that happened this season is kind of null and void in our minds, and it sucks.
Guys, their goal was to win the Super Bowl, and so was a lot of people betting on who was going to win the Super Bowl. Per BetMGM, the highest ticket percentage of Super Bowl winning tickets, the Bills, 12.4% of the market. The highest handle, the Bills, 16.1% of the market. A lot of people rode the favorite in Buffalo, and it didn't work out for them, Jay.
It felt like their season from night one when they destroyed the Rams at SoFi. It just felt like it was going to be their year. Then they destroy the Titans the next week. And then at some point, it just fell apart. And look, I think that Von Miller going down, Micah Hyde going down, DeMar Hamlin not playing, that all hurt them on defense. And then also on offense, I don't think Josh Allen gets enough help. And I know that he didn't play well, but the offense seems to just devolve into, oh, Josh, put your cape on. Can you just do Superman
1,000%.
Stuff? Where's the scheme stuff? Like, Cincinnati came in with a plan on offense. They were going to run the ball. They were going to get the short stuff, and they just dominated them. And meanwhile, the Bills, it's like, all right, let's throw some YOLO balls down to Gabe Davis and then, Josh, do some stuff.
I mean, honestly, like, to your point, right? Okay, so Stephon Diggs aside, we can talk about him in a second, but outside of Stephon Diggs, right? So you have Gabe Davis, who's been, at best, inconsistent this year. I know everyone's on big game Gabe and all that, but he's been inconsistent all year long, and he was inconsistent in this game as well. So then you've got, I mean, Cole Beasley, who was a free agent, who had retired, literally retired this year, and now he's out there, you know, getting snaps. They've got the rookie in Shakir. They lost Jamison Crowder in the preseason, basically, right? Isaiah McKenzie, more of a special teamer at this point in his career. Like, they don't have a lot. I mean, Dawson Knox, okay. The run game hasn't been dominant. At least, like, that's the thing. Like, you see flashes from James Cook, but, you know, Devin Singletary's okay. You know, like, they don't have as good a run game as a Joe Mixon, as, you know, any of the 49ers. Like, honestly, as good as the
agents,
too.
Right. A lot of guys.
So, it's just, I agree with you. I mean, their big trade was for Nyheim Hines. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm with you. I don't think I got that when I was criticizing Dak Prescott on Twitter. That was also some of the things like why are you not saying anything to Josh Allen?
I would say that was fair. He's a better quarterback.
He is a better quarterback, and I agree with you. More often than not, Josh Allen has put that team on his back and said, "I'm just going to do Superman stuff, and we're going to find a way to win." And he wasn't able to do that against the Bengals, but we haven't seen that from Dak. We haven't seen, you know, like, I guess I give more of a pass to Josh Allen just because I feel like we've seen that, and I feel like he has more, weapons around him. But there's no question, Josh Allen did not play well. And credit the Cincinnati Bengals, who everyone sort of like, yeah, it's going to be Bills and Chiefs.
They had something to say.
Bengals were like, we have something to say. Disappointing game for T. Higgins. Now has under 40 receiving yards in both playoff games this year and five of the past six dating back to last season. Hopefully he can get on track, but right now, doesn't matter. Ja'Marr Chase, including the playoffs, joins Randy Moss as the only players in NFL history with 3,000 receiving yards and 25 touchdowns in his first two seasons.
You ain't fight off the stage, Matthew.
I know, but I wanted to get that in.
Screw power through.
Where are they going? My name's on the show.
We can keep veering out for another 30 seconds.
Everybody loves the music. And with that, we are going to our first break. Yeah, when we're back, we're recapping Saturday's games. Eagles, Chiefs on top.
Play me off however you want. What do I care? I'm going to keep talking.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Home isn't just a place. It's a state of mind. Like curling up in a comfy chair while it's cold outside. With a warm drink or maybe even a wine in hand. As you watch the world go by outside your window.
Short rib.
Good afternoon, this is your captain speaking.
Which is why at Delta, our people do our best to make you feel at home.
Refill?
Long before you get there. Delta, keep climbing.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
There's nothing better. Let me just tell you, you guys know this. The ones that have been around, there's nothing better than having two tough quarterbacks. One is great, and then two is even greater, man. Awesome. It's a great thing. It's a great thing.
Hey, great team win today, everybody. Coach said everybody had a part in this. Get off your feet these next few days. Come ready to go next week. Chiefs on three, one, two, three.
Tighten up.
I just want to say one thing. The week that we put together, that's what showed up out there. We worked our ass off. So, man, let's do that each and every day, man. Don't take no moment for granted. You know what I'm saying? Because that right there, that's what we showed up all week. All week, it showed up out there, man. So don't get it twisted. It's on us. It's on us.
Those were the locker room celebrations of the Chiefs and the Eagles as both move on to their conference championships. And guys, we are going to start right with the Eagles in a game that was a blowout. And we saw this story before. We still got fed the headlines all week. It's hard to beat a team three times over and over again. It was not very hard for the Philadelphia Eagles to beat the Giants for the third time.
No. No, it was not.
That dang New York media was wrong.
No, they were.
Yes.
They were. Yeah. People that said they thought the Giants might cover were wrong.
Yes.
People that, like Mike Florio, that picked them to win outright.
Well, wrong. Couldn't be me.
Was we wrong? People that thought it had a chance to be the lowest scoring game of the weekend, which I did. We're wrong.
Well,
they
forgot about one thing.
just a dominating performance from start to finish. Like, it was, what was it, 38-7?
38-7.
And honestly didn't feel that close.
No.
It wasn't as close
Eagles
as the score.
Took their foot off the gas.
I mean,
the game kind of unwound exactly to script in that it followed the exact script of the 48-22 game
yes.
we saw 6 weeks ago, where Giants have a bottom three rush defense and the Eagles do whatever they wanted on the ground. And then the big thing to me was the Eagles defense, which has been a little hit and miss the past couple months with injuries. Well, all those guys are back outside of Avante Maddox, and they just looked incredible. And if you're Brock Purdy, you've got to be a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, look, the fact is that if there's been an Achilles heel for the Eagles' defense this year, it's been their rush defense. Specifically about the up-and-down nature of the Eagles' defense, Jay, to your point, it's really been because Slay and Bradbury have played great all year long. It's really, could they run the ball? Could the Giants, with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, could they effectively run the ball against the Eagles? And the answer in this game was no. No. I mean, they couldn't. You know, they saw the Vikings game and they're like, oh, we're going to stop that. We're going to actually play defense. We're going to play, you know, we're going to have gap discipline, and you're not going to do any of the cute stuff. And so Barkley, 9-for-61. We talked on last week's show that we like the under on his rush attempts. It was 15.5 for Barkley, so that cashes. Daniel Jones just 6-for-24 on the ground again. They just, you know, and then once the game got away from, it's hard to, quote-unquote, establish the
People run. Might look at the fact that the Giants, they did average 5.9 yards per carry on the ground, but a lot of that is just the 39-yarder from Saquon when the game was
over. When the game was over.
Yeah, they couldn't. Yeah. They weren't running the ball efficiently early. And also, when you're down 28-0 like that, then you're not going to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, no doubt. And the efficiency from Jalen Hurts, once again, I mean, 16-24, throws for 2 touchdowns, runs for another one. This is kind of, Lawrence, this has been the story with Jalen Hurts all year, is the balance of the throwing and the efficient running.
Yeah, and I think like we all talked about last week, we expected him to get back on track. We didn't really take it too much consideration how, you know, he looked bad against the Giants backups. But that was weeks. That was his first time playing in weeks. He was getting warmed up, and he wasn't warmed up in this game. He was hot. Only took him 154 passing yards to do it because the defense came to play. But Jalen Hurts, he ready to go, man. Hurts on, 20-40, Hurts, whatever. Hurts was balling. Y'all got it.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like the exact same guy. And the fear was that he would look like the Week 18 guy. No, extra week of rest in a game that meant everything. He was just Jalen Hurts.
And he looked like somebody's ride or die, somebody's fantasy ride or die. That somebody at the beginning of the season said could take a Josh Allen. Like, first game of the season, preseason game, Football Night in America, somebody, and by somebody I mean me.
I thought it was Maria Tyler.
Nope, it was totally me.
Okay. Jason Garrett?
That said, Josh, he can take a Josh Allen year 3-like leap with the addition of A.J. Brown, that offensive line, that schedule, and another year in Sirianni's system. He has the ability to become the number one quarterback in fantasy, to have that MVP-like season, and he's done that. I don't think he's going to win the MVP. I think it's going to be Mahomes because he missed those 2 games. But he legitimately was and will continue to be in the conversation, and he looked like Jalen Hurts. He didn't look hurt. That's the most important thing, I think, for Philly fans and the Eagles' skill players is that he looks 100% healthy. Boston Scott, anytime touchdown. I think I tweeted this out. Death taxes and Boston Scott, anytime touchdown. We talked about that.
I feel like that was Nick Sirianni giving him that carry. It was like Nick Sirianni breaking the fourth wall.
It was like a mid touchdown. Yeah. He definitely knew.
They got that off there. Hell, all the running backs from the Eagles was getting off. 112 rushing yards for Gainwell, 90 for Sanders. Of course, Boston Scott gets his 11th TD against the Giants just to make us all happy on social media there. Now, it'll be tougher, obviously, to run that ball against the 49ers, but we talked about this last week. You could throw against the Niners.
You can throw deep on the Niners. That's the thing.
Just don't throw no interceptions. You feel me? And I don't think that Jalen Hurts is going to be as giving as, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys were. So it'll be a little switch-up. But what we do know about the Eagles' offense, they could do it every type of way. Like A.J. Brown, almost 1,500 receiving yards. Slim Reaper with 1,200. You got Goddard with set. So they could get it. They could go Jekyll and Hyde on you as far as their offense goes. That's probably what they'll have to do against the Niners.
Really versatile offense. There's no question about that. And you just said, you know, like the Boston Scott thing was a sort of acknowledgement. Like, you know, Nick Sirianni just kind of knows. I feel like what you're saying is that Nick Sirianni knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does know what he's doing. Good night overall from a content perspective for Nick Sirianni.
The best.
With the grin at the camera and then his moment down the sideline as well, which I don't think we can repeat at noon on Peacock. But he was magnificent on that team. I mean, they've been the best team in the NFC all year, and now they get a home game to go to the Super
Bowl. If there's one thing that's disappointing about the Eagles, and really there's only one thing, it's this. It's that on Football Night in America, I had to give a pick for this game. I had to give some betting props. And so I said, per BetMGM, I said, look, I like 2 things in this game. I like the over on Devontae Smith, 65.5 receiving yards. I like the over on Richie James, 45.5 receiving yards. So with Devontae Smith, one of my arguments was that he's had at least 67 yards in 5 of the last 6 games. We expect them to be able to throw. Dory Jackson probably sees a little bit more of A.J. Brown than he does. Devontae Smith is going to see some man-to-man. He's had at least, at least 8 targets in 9 straight games. Like, really, Devontae Smith has had that, And he hit the number. He hit the number. Except the last reception that he got, which is like a 6-yard reception, stupid Eagles had like an illegal man downfield, so it gets called back. And Devontae Smith finishes with 61 yards, not the 66 I needed for him to cover the over. That's what sucks, Jay Croucher. That's what sucks about that Eagles win is that Smith did not cover.
It's good you moved past it, though.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're over it. That's the best part.
It was my last football night in America for the year. And
forever?
I, you know,
people only remember the last
maybe
one.
Maybe forever.
Well.
I don't know. Going to a long offseason.
Oh,
yeah,
we're going
to
see.
You should have went with a Daniel Jones prop.
I was very close to taking giving the sake. It was one of those three. It was those two plus the Saquon Barkley under on the rushing.
Yeah.
So I hit two of the three that I gave out on this show. But Rodney Harrison was going to talk up A.J. Brown in the segment before, and they liked, you know, when I told them I was thinking about this Devontae Smith over, they were like, eh, you know, could you help us out here? It'd be good transition. Rodney's going to talk A.J. Brown, and then you'll talk Devontae Smith. And well, what are you going to do? Yeah. But
well,
it was
the
right play,
is,
Smith over A.J. Brown. There you go. That was the
Richie
right play.
James play does yes. hit. Richie James, 7 catches, 51 yards. Like we said, Daniel Jones really struggled in this one, guys. And Saquon, only 9 carries because they needed to go to a throw script. So an interesting offseason ahead for the Giants. Barkley and Jones, both free agents, assuming they'll probably franchise tag one and try to work an extension with the other. But we'll see where this Giants offense goes under Brian Daboll.
I think with Jones, like he's not as good as he was in the Minnesota game. He's not as bad as he was in the Philadelphia game. He's in between. He's probably, you know, slightly worse quarterback than Dak Prescott. That kind of Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr type of mold, which is like every Giants fan would have taken that from Daniel Jones before the season. No one thought he would be on the team next year, and now he looks like a very solid quarterback.
The fifth year
A 1,000%, by the way. Mike Garofalo, who reports for NFL Network, tweeted this out, that Giants general manager Joe Shane, quote, "We'd like Daniel to be here." He notes that there's a, quote, "business side to it," mm-mm, but, quote, "he's done everything we've asked him." That's the Giants general manager on Daniel Jones, according to NFL Network. And I would think the deal gets done. I'll tell you this. It's interesting. I don't know if this is conventional wisdom, but if you told me that of those two players, Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones, hey, by the way, the Giants are going to franchise tag one of them, I feel like it's got to be Jones.
100%.
I feel like it's got to be Jones over Barkley, even though I get Barkley's the bigger name and maybe and he's a better running back among all running backs than Daniel Jones is a quarterback among all quarterbacks. But again, just replacement level, I mean, they got good production from, you know, Matt Breida this year when they needed to.
Like,
this
is the value of a quarterback.
Right. It's just the value of a quarterback. So, but my expectation is that both guys are back, and both guys should be popular fantasy picks next season. Barkley will be a top 10 guy, and Daniel Jones will be a high-end QB2 kind of, you know, trendy sleeper in that Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr range.
All right, our last game here, fellas. The Chiefs take care of business against Jacksonville, but a bit of a scare as Patrick Mahomes is dealing with a high ankle sprain. Mahomes, after the game.
A bit of a scare.
He did come back to the game, though. I'm sure he had some help in the locker room at halftime. Mahomes, after the game, says, "It feels better than I thought it was going to be now. I'll hop right in the treatment and try to do whatever I can to be close to 100% by next week."
I don't think he's going to be close to 100%.
No, maybe 65%.
That's a bad one. I mean, right now, this is incredible. Like, the line on BetMGM, it's pick. Kansas City home to the Bengals.
Everything.
And to give you an idea of this, like, Kansas City and Buffalo basically rated the same level a week ago. Buffalo were minus 6-point favorites at home. That's what it closed against Cincinnati. And now there's been a 6-point swing where now it's pick because people think that Mahomes either may not play. I think he'll play.
He'll
be that limited. And the difference between Superman, fully healthy Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes on one leg who can barely run a running back stretch play, which was tough to watch. Can you stop calling those plays, Andy Reid? Please. We don't want to see Patrick Mahomes limping to hand off to Jerick McKinnon. So it's a crazy line. I think that the Chiefs will probably end up being 1.5-point favorites or so. I think it'll move in the direction of the Chiefs. But yeah, it's just that the game hinges on Mahomes' health. I'll say, he looked okay in the second half for a guy with one leg. He's just that good.
Mahomes with one leg is still better than 95% of the quarterbacks in the NFL, especially, especially given Andy Reid coaching. Look, now, again, I think he'll find Kelsey early and often. I mean, that's, you know, just a monster game for Kelsey. We talked about that on Football Night in America, that we expected a huge game from him and how the Jaguars give up the third most receiving yards to opposing tight ends. He has 98. Kelsey does on 14 receptions and the 2 touchdowns in this one, including one from Chad Henne. Chad Henne revenge game.
Yes,
hashtag
sir.
Revenge
yes,
game. Henny, of course, was a Jaguar from 2012 to 2017, played 31 games for them, 22 starts. Chad Henny exacting revenge against Jacksonville. You can't stop Chad Henny. You can only hope to contain him.
Yeah, I mean, that was the game. Is Chad Henne going, what, 98 yards. Touchdown drive? Like, that's your game. You can't allow Chad Henne to do that and expect to get to the AFC title game.
The Chiefs were the Chiefs, I think, the only other takeaway from this game. And, like, again, we'll have a show on Thursday where we'll break down the championship games and we'll probably have a lot better idea of what Mahomes' status is, and we can break it down there. But I think the running game is sort of interesting, right? McKinnon plays 64% of the snaps, runs 19 routes, compared with just 36% of the snaps for Isaiah Pacheco and 11 routes. So McKinnon was on the field a lot more, but Pacheco is the guy that has the better fantasy day. 12 for 95, he catches a ball as well. McKinnon doesn't do much, just 11 for 25 on the ground.
Yep. Looking at the Jags side, I mean, wasted opportunity. It was right there for them, the Jags. When Henny came into the game, the live line on BetMGM was close to pick. The Jags were almost a coin flip to go to the AFC title game, which, considering they were 3-7 or whatever they were, is insane. But, I mean, Kirk is so close to catching the deep bomb. Just the game of almost. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he was probably better than he was the past two games, but still not great. On the ground, they're efficient. They just don't have the opportunity to run that much because they're trailing. So just an almost game for the Jags, Lawrence.
Yeah, it was, you know, just not their time, really. Like, they had everything going for them. Patrick Mahomes goes out for a little bit. You got Chad Henne, but then, like you said, you can't stop Chad Henne. You can only hold the container. Lawrence was good.
You can't give up a 98-yard drive to a backup quarterback. You just can't if you're the Jaguars.
No, it's not. Can't, especially for a touchdown, right? First loss for Trevor Lawrence on a Saturday. So there you go. That's a big milestone. High school, college, and or pro. ETN kind of saved his day fantasy-wise with a touchdown there late in the game. But, again, not much there. They had their chances.
I thought they were going to – I thought, you know, going into this game, I mentioned this, same thing where I went I feel like I should have hit both props, and I didn't. I had an over on the Christian Kirk receiving yards. He hits that. At 5.5 receptions, he ends up with 7. But I did say 2 touchdowns for Trevor Lawrence. He wins to only 1.5. Like, ETN. He should have. No team in the NFL gave up more touchdown passes than the Kansas City Chiefs. Trevor Lawrence. But if you're a Jags fan, like I am, my swag you are, you have to feel good about the, like, they're playing with house money.
Yes.
Like,
great turnaround.
When you think about last year, they were one of the laughing stocks in the NFL to then go all the way to playing, you know, covering the spread against the number one seed, you know, backdoor cover Jags. Like, you know, you got to feel good about where they were versus where they were a year ago. Unbelievable. Yeah. Once again, I'm being played off. We'll be back.
Great season for
happy
them.
Hour.
When we're back, we're looking at Super Bowl futures coming right up.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Home isn't just a place. It's a state of mind, like curling up in a comfy chair as you watch the world go by.
Good afternoon.
Which is why at Delta, our people do our best to make you feel at home long before you get there. Delta, keep climbing.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome back. We are looking at the Super Bowl futures odds as the board is down to 4. The Eagles as the favorite right now at plus 250, but this is a tight field. The Bengals plus 270, the Chiefs plus 270 as well. And Jay, the last one on the board, Brock Purdy's 49ers at plus 300. Is there a way you're leaning in this even field?
Yeah, very tightly bunched. I think the best bet on the board is Kansas City at plus 270. And the reason why is that if they beat the Bengals, they've got 2 weeks to get Patrick Mahomes' ankle, leg, right. And if he's healthy, then the Chiefs will be favored in the Super Bowl over the Eagles or the 49ers.
If you're feeling a little bit more bold, here's the exact outcome odds. There's more value here, but obviously a lot more risk. Lawrence, if you're looking at this entire board, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
Is there anything you like here?
I'm going Eagles to beat the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs get through this game here. It's going to be a good story with Patrick Mahomes and the ankle advancing to the Super Bowl. But the Eagles, with their defensive backs, will construct a plan much like the Tampa Bay Bucks did a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl. That's how they'll get the Chiefs.
Barry, what about you? Anything on the board that you're interested in?
Yeah, I thought Chiefs. I thought the best bet there was Chiefs beating the Eagles as well. So I agree with it there. I don't see the Niners going into Philadelphia and beating the Eagles. So and you saw like the lowest odds. It's still +475 was either team, whether it was the Chiefs or the Bengals beating the Eagles.
Yep, I think Chiefs to beat the Eagles. That would be my best look as well on the exacta. Just thinking that. If the Chiefs win against the Bengals, that implies a certain level of health about Mahomes, and then he'll have two more weeks as well to get right. So I think that's going to be a Super Bowl.
By the way, I mean, can you imagine Chiefs-Eagles, the Andy Reid Bowl? Like, that would be unbelievable. That would be unbelievable. So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
All right, one more break here, fellas. When we're back, it is last call.
But if you bet any of those, promo code Barry at BetMGM.
Yeah, risk-free.
Risk-free bet. First bet up to $1,000.
You heard it here.
We love risk-free bet.
When we're back, last call, little Matthew Barry story time. It is time for last call. And apparently Matthew Barry was enjoying last call with Lil Jon on the screen at the Chiefs game.
That's how I roll.
In the Bud Light suite.
Like your scoff, Matthew. It's good scoff.
Yes.
I didn't want to bother him, but then, you know, some people said, we were talking a little bit, and then someone said, let's take a picture. And no one told me my scarf had sort of whipped around to look stupid like that. And then I saw the picture back, and I'm like, oh, man.
Going with like a Hugh Grant in The Undoing.
I guess so. It was cold as hell there, I'll say that. But so he was really cool, but I was not with my scarf.
While multiple sources have confirmed that is Lil Jon, there is some confusion on social media, as we have a comment here that thought that was Lawrence. Lawrence finding his way to Kansas City would be a hell of a plot twist that would continue on.
I would never be anywhere with some I love Patrick Mahomes, but you ain't catching me in no Kansas City Chiefs gear. Like, Lil Jon, come on, man. You supposed to be from Atlanta, man.
You were literally wearing a Dodgers cap.
Don't worry about all that. I wasn't head to toe, socks and pants. This dude lives in Kansas City, right?
You know, I mean, he was performing at halftime. He's playing to the crowd. He's the master showman. You know,
I get that.
I appreciate it. He was very nice. I wish I had a great story about partying in the suite with Lil Jon, but it's very nice. We talked a little football. I met his entourage. He had a group with him. Like, he took a picture with me and my wife as well, which I posted later on Instagram.
And then he asked you where you got your scarf.
There was no scarf talk.
Gotta get him on the show.
I was so annoyed. Like, Lawrence, by the way, saw the picture. He's just like, kind of.
I look better though. Come on.
We're back Thursday.
Home isn't just a place, it's a state of mind. Like curling up in a comfy chair while it's cold outside. With a warm drink, or maybe even a wine in hand. As you watch the world go by outside your window.
Mmm, short rib.
Good afternoon, this is your captain speaking.
Which is why at Delta, our people do our best to make you feel at home.
Refill?
Long before you get there. Delta, keep climbing.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.